Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Herb Edwards joining us right now. Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing well, man, and we get good news out of Buffalo, right?
Yes.
So that's even better.
Yeah, it certainly is. We just delivered that again to the audience a few minutes ago, and it's all great news to have that. It just makes the heart a little bit lighter as we start now focusing on playing the game again. There's no doubt about that. So each day, the positive news from DeMar Hamlin makes it a lot easier for us to now talk about what comes next. And with that in mind, you know, good news in Philadelphia. So Nick Sirianni saying that Jalen Hurts is trending in the right direction to start against the Giants on Sunday. It's an important game for the Eagles, of course, and the Cowboys are certainly watching things and what's going to happen there. But indications are, Herm, that Brian Daboll and the Giants might not play their starters, might sit this one out. How would you handle this if you were the coach?
Which coach?
The Giants coach.
Well, it does, because it's a game, and you're trying to win the game. So
we just, hello?
Let's screw that up. You know, and I think people think, like, well, it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. Why are we doing this? If you're not trying to win, why are we doing this? What is the purpose of all this? What is the purpose of going to training camp, having a goal to get to the playoffs, having a goal to maybe win a playoff game or two, having a goal of going to the Super Bowl? That starts like 6 months ago, right? And so now at the end, you say, well, you know what? This one don't matter. They matter. They all matter. Are you kidding me? They're all important. And so coaches do what they have to do. I get it. I understand all this about it. What I'm going to do is this. A pro football player, he plays football. That's his occupation. He gets rest on the offseason. You know, we worry about getting injured. We even worry. When you start worrying about injuries, you're in trouble. That's when you'll get hurt.
Hmm.
Hey,
these
coach.
Players play. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, coach. That's why I love being able to have, you know, myself and also be able to talk to, you know, former members of the football community, because I think we have an opportunity here to offer, you know, insight that maybe other shows can't provide because they don't know the right questions to ask or they don't have the right perspective. Can you explain to our audience that's listening that if you don't play your starters, the stress that you put on your secondary and supportive players that sometimes play vital roles in playoff runs, and how much stress and how you make them vulnerable to and susceptible to injury?
Well, to injury, and you expose them, right? And that you know, every player wants to start until they got to go start. And play 60 plays, 70 plays. They're good players. Some of these guys are really good players, and they play 20. Now all of a sudden you ask a guy to play 60? Really? And then you ask yourself this question. If you're a player and you're standing there and you're going, well, wait a minute, now I'm going to play in this game, but in the beginning of the season, midway through the season, they wouldn't let me play. So now what they're trying to do basically is say, if you get hurt, it don't matter. We're going to protect our starters. This is a team. What I would do is this. Handle it like a preseason game. Put them veterans out there early in that game and let them go get hit. Let them feel it a little bit. And then somewhere in the game, you start plucking one or two of them out. That's what I would do.
Mm. So
I mean, that's just me. But I'm not coaching there. I'm not the coach.
No, I hear you. Well, it's
job. You know, when that's every coach does, I'm not trying to second guess the coach. I'm just telling you my philosophy.
But we don't ask you that for you to second guess. It's like you have been a coach in this league. You know what to do.
You've been on both sides.
Yeah, you've been on both sides of it. Right. So that's the reason why it's asked. It's like, how do you feel? And you explaining that, hey, you know, we as fans are like, wrap Saquon in bubble wrap. I don't want to get hurt. And you're saying, well, no. Yeah, see, again, and that's a different perspective.
He's a running back. He's been getting hit all his life. He's been getting hit all his life. You're going to say, well, we're going to save him this week. Well, then what about next week when you get in the playoffs, the first play he gets hurt? Then what? Are you kidding me? You don't play football worrying about getting hurt.
Hey, coach.
You don't do that.
It would be seemingly, it's probably fair to say that the Philadelphia Eagles are potentially risking the biggest chip. Because of Minshew not being able to have an opportunity to get the win against a team that on paper they should have beat in the Saints. Now it's all hands on deck, because now you may have to expose Jalen Hurts, who may not be all the way healthy yet, because you don't believe in Minshew in the first round bye is super important, not only just for Jalen Hurts to heal up more, but also for you to get more time for Lane Johnson, who has the strained oblique. So how do you handle Jalen Hurts as far as, you know, part of his game is running the football and being part of the running game? How do you handle and manage him?
Well, the first thing, there's no design runs for him in the game plan. Not one. Not a. And you tell him, if you even get tempted to lead a pocket, don't. Throw the ball.
Right.
Just throw it out of bounds. Let's get him through the game. And he's another one. There might be some part in that game where you say, okay, he's had enough, now get him out. But he needs to play. Because one thing this guy brings, and this is why he was considered the MVP candidate. I don't know if he can win it now. I think Mahomes will probably win it because he missed some games. But he brings stability to the whole football team. He has an aura about him. And when he was no longer there, this team has lost two in a row. And you can say what you want. Well, you know, they were in the game. No, they weren't. Against Dallas, they turned the ball over four times. And they turned around again and turned over again and lost two in a row. This dude is different. And those players sense when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
They know. I'm on the field now, and it's like the whole intensity of this team just kind of picks up. But you can't run him. You know he's got some design runs. He's run the ball over 150 times already. He ain't running the ball. Not one. Don't even think about running the ball.
He'll be a thrower in this game.
Just let him throw it. Let your defense play. He stabilizes this team. That's what he brings to the table when he walks out of, on the football field.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a different team when he's on the field, and you could see it. And that's part of I think, the value in him, the intangibles about Jalen Hurts. So, again, an important game for the Eagles against the Giants. But we're just getting reports here. We're talking with Herm Edwards, and the report's just coming out. So they had the competition committee meeting that was going on in this past hour to decide what to do going forward if they're not going to play now the rest of that Bills-Bengals game. And so NFL Network reporting that they've approved that resolution that we saw reported last night. So possibility of neutral site AFC championship game, a coin flip to determine Ravens-Bengals wild card game, who would host it and all that stuff. I mean, you should see the chart, by the way, that I just saw about it. Like, this is – you got to be smarter than me. Yeah, to figure this out. But Coach, with this in mind, Bart has pushed back on this. Right? He doesn't feel like there's a lot of – like it's a level playing field for everyone here. But one way or another, you got to play the game. Wherever it is, you got to play. Again, just your thoughts on the league having to, you know, coming up with this plan. Instead of just playing the game and pushing everything up, doing it this way with a coin flip, does it bother you at all that the coin flip is going to decide some things here?
Here's what bothers me. Okay. And Bart will understand exactly what I'm saying. I learned a long time ago, growing up, in the era that I grew up in the late 60s, 70s, life ain't fair. So what do you do? You say, life's not fair. Okay, so then what am I going to do? Feel sorry for myself? Let me tell you something. These dudes are football players. You start this thing off when you go to training camp saying what? I want to win a division. I want to get in the playoffs. And if I get in the playoffs, I got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Okay. So, with that being said, you don't talk about, well, if we don't have home field advantage, we can't do it. If we don't have a bye this week, we can't do it. These are the facts. The last time I checked, I don't care where you play. I'm in the playoffs. There's 7 teams on the AFC side. There'll be 7 teams on the NFC side. The last two, one on the AFC, one on the NFC, will play in the Super Bowl. I got a chance to do that. Now, if the league's telling me, no, you only can play with 10 players, then I got a problem. I'm going to get to play with 11. And I don't care where I go. You can tell me, hey, man, you got to go to Dakota and play this game. I don't really care. Send me to Dakota, and I'll go play the game. Stop all this nonsense. This is just talk. You have to play. It don't matter where you play. Go line up and play. You're trying to win a playoff game. You're trying to go to the Super Bowl. Bottom line. I get to play with 11 players, by the way. Not 10, 11.
not Coach, when you think about, you know, the finances for these cities and the supporting bars that get money and that pay their bills, and it's kind of like the Christmas holiday season where they make majority of their money, you know, during these playoff runs. How do you think the NFL should compensate that? Should they go into their reserve pack and, you know, give this to give money to these places or give money to these organizations that's going to lose maybe $20-40 million in revenue?
I mean, that's a thought. That's a thought. But here again, you know, life ain't fair, man. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. You remember, we all dealt with it. When COVID hit,
yeah.
What about that one?
Yeah, playing on a Tuesday.
We went through 2 years of COVID?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so, you know, was that fair? No, it wasn't fair. COVID hit it hit every section of the world, of the country, of the world, and it affected different ways, right? And I'm not saying this is COVID, but I'm just saying we had to deal with that. And you know, and sometimes it ain't the way you like it. It's like, well, it's okay, man. You got to buckle up and go, hey, this is what happened, man. How am I going to adjust? You know that, Bart, in a football game.
Yeah.
You're saying, man, we got this plan, and all of a sudden you say, man, this thing ain't working, bro, coach. We got to change up, man. this ain't happening, right? So hey, it's hard. It ain't going to be fair, guys. We knew this. The best thing the NFL did was cancel that game. Game over. We ain't playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go back to that. We don't want to see that no more.
Coach, can I go back to the matchup in the NFC East when you think that the NFL decided to put both of these teams at 4:25 when they could have made it really easy by putting one team at 1 o'clock and one team at 4:25 so teams can know, you know, because you think about potentially Dallas can be –
yeah, would you rather know?
Nothing and they're putting their quarterback at risk and putting their team at risk because they have an opportunity to get a first-round bye and win a division, which we know that's usually the first goal of every team. Could the NFL or should the NFL have did a better job in changing the times of these games?
I don't know if on one end was it trying to give all four of those teams time to rest, you know, and give them – rather than to start at 1 o'clock – you know, and you know
they could have went 4-8 though. They could have went at 4 and flexed one to nighttime.
That's true too. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking is. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's above my pay grade, but I know this: whatever time you play, it's real now. When you get in the playoffs, it's real, man. And it's elimination. You get to play one game, and if you win, you get to move on. And you know it. You've been in playoff games. I've been in playoff games, and ain't nothing like it, man. And you're excited about being there, man. The hair is standing on the back of your, on the back of your neck. It's standing straight up because it's like this playoff, man. This is real. And some of these guys, rookies, they don't even understand how fast the game's going to get now.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. The game doesn't get physically faster. Does it get mentally faster? What's that speed? Like I've heard this a couple of times. The game gets faster. I think Sauce said that about going from college to the NFL. The game's faster. 100%. Is it physically faster or is it mentally faster where you have to think quicker? Like explain, if you guys could both explain that, I'd love it.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, just understand on a playoff game, the coach has everybody's attention. It's a dash for the cash. Yes. Everybody understands it is no tomorrow. So when you have a guy that may not do that extra studying normally because he's kind of going through the motions, you got his attention today. When you talk about the intensity and the attention to detail in practice, you got their attention today. Like you don't have to motivate anybody. Everybody's so locked in. I'm talking about 1 to 53 is locked in. So what happens is when everybody's locked in and everybody's so dialed in to watch an extra film study, stand late, you don't have to ask nobody to stand late. Guys are going to be meeting by themselves. They're going to be meeting with their coaches. They're going to be so dialed in and know their, especially if it's an opponent, a divisional opponent, an opponent that you're familiar with. Because here's the thing. When you play opponents that don't really know you, they miss out on the Brad Smiths. They miss out on the Drew Colemans, right? Everybody knows the stars. But they don't understand that this game is usually determined by unsung heroes. So they sleep on what they do well because you don't break them down and study them. You better. Because those are the guys that break your back. Because they're going to do everything to take away your best star. It's those secondary and having to fight and be able to counterpunch with your left hand and maybe not your dominant hand that get you beat. That's why when we played a lot of teams, it was Brad Smith because they didn't know. They're like, this is a quarterback. Okay, they got a Wildcat. They worried about Braylon Edwards or Santonio Holmes or Dustin Keller. They ain't know that this dude is a big playmaker for us. All he does is make big plays. but he don't look like a playmaker. Yeah. But oh, he is.
Yeah, it's a different element, and Bart touched on a bunch of the things that end up happening. But the one thing that is true is that players realize that the moment now is here, and it's whether you got to play two games or three games. Hey, we could be in this big game now, and this is what gets their attention when you're in the playoffs. You cut down what you do on offense and defense because you ain't going to need a lot because the energy these guys are going to play with, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It's just fun. It's fun to be in that atmosphere.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That's why Bart said can't wait all those years ago. Oh, Herm, great to talk to you as always. Thanks so much for the insight.
Pleasure, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Herm Edwards, the coach, of course, with us here. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7. ESPN. Something that just came across, again, more of the media stuff coming out this morning on the Jets side of things. So apparently Mike White revealing that the doctors told him he had 5 broken ribs.
Hold up. They didn't tell him he had 5 broken ribs 2 weeks ago?
The doctors told him one was an old injury. Costello just tweeted that.
So he broke he broke 4 ribs. Damn. I didn't even see him get hit in the last game.
No wonder why he was hurting.
Jeez.
Yeah. So he has five broken ribs, and one of them is an old broken rib.
Hold on. They just conveniently missed that on the x-ray the first 2 times?
Damn.
So they were just giving him an x-ray. They finally gave him MRI. Like, oh, yeah, we didn't get the good picture.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's actually 5 of them. Jeez. Yeah, that one was already broken. That had been broken for a while.
That's almost a slab right there. You can make a good rib sandwich with that one.
Yikes. Robert Sala, again, earlier talking about the rib injury Mike White was dealing with.
So Wednesday was a walkthrough, which is why full practice walkthrough, he can do all that. Just wasn't feeling right. His ribs, I'll just point it out, the end of half, Hail Mary, the sack that he took, really bothered him, even going in the second half, which clearly affected his ability to throw the ball. As you guys all have seen from watching tape, he played really well in the first half, just was a little off in the second half. He's just in a lot of pain.
I don't know. I don't think he was on the whole game. I didn't think he looked right. Did you?
Me either. You thought he second wasn't half, accurate? I mean, he wasn't accurate
no.
at all?
Yeah, his accuracy, and I know he was wearing the rib protection.
He undertook a lot of stuff.
Right, and maybe that's just wearing that whatever it was he was wearing, the flak jacket or whatever he had on to protect him. That can definitely mess with your mechanics. But so it was the Hail Mary, I guess. You asked when that happened. I guess it was on the little Hail Mary there at the end. So that's amazing. 5 broken ribs. And, oh, by the way, one of them, yeah, you've had that for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Justin Herbert did it.
And, yeah, it's true.
Jameis Winston broke his back. It was spinal.
It was spinal.
He's like, my back hurt. Where did it hurt, Jameis? Everywhere.
Legit what happened to
Jameis
him.
Winston is a national
I
treasure.
Broke my back. Spinal.
It's one of the best ever.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I wonder, call in.
Yeah. 800-919-3776.
If you believe
what?
That it is value in the Giants playing all their starting defense. And I say that because you're going against a team that if you believe in yourself,
you might see again.
You might see again.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to take free shots at their quarterback with no threat of losing the game. You can tenderize that shoulder a little bit. You can be physical with them and maybe, just maybe.
Do some snow angels?
Yeah, somebody, maybe, just maybe. Yeah, some snow angels. This is the week to do snow angels.
Do the night-night on the sideline?
Yes, and then what happens is, right, these are body blows. And then who knows, he's going to have another tough game, right, in the playoffs when they come off the bye. And it's a battle of attrition. This is kind of what it's about. You're not allowing him to get healthy and get fresh and get untouched and go into the playoffs and get away with coming out and playing a football game, not feeling like he played a football game because you don't have good enough players out there to make him pay the cost to play a real football game.
Yeah, you heard what Herm said, right? Oh, don't let him run. I felt like Herm kind of contradicted something because he's like, the Giants should play their guys and treat it like a game because, you know, it's football and you can't worry about getting hurt and everything. And then he's like, but I wouldn't have Jalen Hurts run the ball. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So now you're going to have him play cautious, which I don't know.
Right,
if that, you know,
say you don't worry about getting hurt, but you're actually worried about him getting hurt if you're not running.
So
we're just going to say that to Herm, though. He's our dog.
Well, I wasn't going to call him out for it, but I get what he was trying to say. It felt like a contradiction. But Herm did say on the Giants side of things, you got to play your guys. That's what he said. He literally said, you got to play your guys.
Well, and a lot of your guys.
Well, yeah, but no, then he said, then you know, halftime, you see how the game's going, and then you start pulling guys out. But you start them, and you keep them, like, in the rhythm of playing football.
And you know why? You know why you do that?
Why?
Because, man, if you have, like, I'll just use this example for everybody out here that's kind of familiar with the Jets roster when I played. Right? Eric Smith was a very important piece of our team.
Yeah.
He was a guy that may not have been a first-end starter, especially when Kerry Rhodes was here, but he was a guy that came in certain packages.
Yeah.
And he gave us an advantage to match up against certain tight ends and certain running backs because he was multiple, but he was tough. He could play in the box. Drew Coleman was the same type of player, right? Everybody knows Brad Smith. Everybody knows Leon Washington. Somebody who came in, he wasn't a starter, but he came in and you knew it was a gadget coming or some type of screen draw. And he was big playability.
Impact.
So what happens is when you have a game and you start those guys, they still got to play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got guys that's playing 80 snaps that's never and still having to take special team duties or 60 snaps and still having to do special team duties. That's when they pull hamstrings. That's when they get hurt.
Yeah, you were saying that.
So then when the game comes, what happens to, in our essence, our Spartan package? Because we called it the Spartan package because it included Eric Smith, who was from Michigan State. So what happens when we do that? What happens when we need to go out there when teams are going with basically four wides and a running back that acts like a receiver, say like CMC? And all of a sudden now that player that's like the fifth safety, but he's a great special team player, but he helps you in like these type of instances when they want to use CMC as a receiver because he's strong enough to be in a box, but he's also athletic enough to be able to cover him, and now he's hurt. So you got to be careful when you say rest the entire team because you're putting stress on other people on the team because this isn't college where you have 100 players. You got 53, and it's 11, it's 22 at least. Before you get any backups, it's 22 players that have to play.
I could see both sides of it. You're explaining something that as I listen to you and you were explaining with Herm, it does make sense. Oh, now you're stressing, like, because a lot of guys will do this. Oh, play your bench, give them opportunity. You're like, yeah, but they're not really tuned for that. And now, like, if you lose something in your depth going into the playoffs, you don't realize how much that could cost you because depth is so valuable when you get into the postseason. But I also see the other side of it as a fan.
Yeah,
it's like, man, I do not want to see somebody get hurt, and now we don't have him for the postseason, and he's playing in a relatively – and I know I said it, and I knew Herm was going to jump on me. When I said a meaningless game, he flipped out on me on that one. I expected that you play to win the game.
Right, right.
I get it. But you also play to be healthy.
Let's look at the Giants players, right? What if they would have said, okay, this game, we're going to rest Michael Strahan, and we're going to kick Tuck out to outside end.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Tuck gets hurt because now you know, or Kiwanuka gets hurt, and now he gets hurt, and now you don't have that great rotation of pass rushers that you had. So now instead of having seven, you got five. And now that's going to – it may be fine for the first playoff game, but the second one and the third one,
yep,
those guys are going to wear out.
800-919-3776. All right, Giants fans, what do you feel? We go to Livingston, New Jersey. Talk to David. What's up, David?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Off the bat, I just want to say, and I'll give you my question. Bart, you're awesome. I've been following you around, and Han, I've been learning about you a lot, and I really enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man. So,
Check's in the mail, by the way.
I'm sorry?
No, we just said the check's in the mail. We always appreciate the endorsements. We'll get you a T-shirt. Thanks.
Cool. I love one. You got it, man. So I'm a diehard Giant fan, and I was just talking to my son before I dropped him to school this morning, my 13-year-old son. And I'm about, like, yes, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I want to be fresh and ready to roll for playoffs.
Right.
But in the same breath, there, you know, when you stop that, you see lots of times the guys come back and they don't flow right. I think they should just play the game, like, you know, and just go full, maybe not full throttle, but play hard and play so they can be cohesive and play together for the following game. I feel like we take them out, maybe they fart out and they're too slow in the beginning of the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, they come out lethargic. You see this a lot with teams come off of bye weeks and they come out like, man, you just had a bye week. Why you come out? But rhythm, timing is important.
Yeah, I mean, again, I see it both ways.
But you can limit the snaps. That's what it has to be.
Like later in the game, especially if, like, look, the Eagles are favored by two touchdowns, right? They're favored by two touchdowns.
First of all, that's disrespectful.
Isn't it, though? Well, they did smoke them in the first game. 48-22, man. So, like, I can understand it. But still, so if it's getting away from you in the second half. Now, the interesting scenario is if it's like a close game. And you're going to play that to the wire now, right? Because you want the dub for the Giants. And again, it might be window dressing. Yeah, look, they haven't had a 10-win season in 6 years. Like a 10-win season would be, you know, I mean, that's a good looking number when you won four the year before. You know what I mean?
They had 9.5, so who cares? We can round up.
Yeah, stop. Because of the tie.
we round up. It's 9.5.
Let's continue with the calls. We go to Connor in New Jersey. What's up, Connor?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good afternoon. I was just going to say, on your point with the Giants' defense playing the whole way, I think as far as Xavier McKinney coming back, I don't know if Adoree Jackson is going to play this week, but I think you've got to redevelop some of that chemistry you missed all season. Mm. So I think keeping the starters in is a good call, even offensively, keeping that rhythm going, maybe pulling Danny Jones, maybe pulling Saquon after a little bit. But
at least for a half.
But how about this, Connor? Do you treat it like a preseason game?
No, I treat it like a playoff game almost, as far as the intensity level.
No, well, that's what I meant. I meant like, have we seen in the preseason where the starters will play like two series and then you'll take them out little by little, play other guys, but
tell the young guys,
I like
bring
that,
it home
but
for
if
us,
we're
baby.
In the game, we got to go for that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, think about
if we're in the game and we're in the to win it,
yeah,
and we're close. I think you got to get that.
I agree with that. I want the dub.
The one seed, put a little bad taste in their mouth.
That's it.
And so knowing that they might have to play you again.
You want to give Dallas the number one seed?
Man, hell no.
Give them an easier path?
Hell no.
So if you win, potentially that's what happens. I just want to get body blows.
Yeah,
I feel you on that for sure. But
I just want to tenderize Jalen Hurts a little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And that whole monstrosity of a team that they got going.
Well, it's gonna be interesting to see how they handle it. Connor, thanks for the call. Appreciate you, man. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. You know, I mean, look, Cowboys, Commanders are playing at the same time.
Yeah, the NFL.
And so you'll
be
scoreboard watching as
NFL
well.
NFL be better. NFL be better. Like
if you're the Eagles, how about this? If you're the Eagles, and in some strange reason, I don't expect it, but I'm saying in some strange reason, like Sam Howell's just going nuts, and the Commanders are winning. If you're the Eagles, do you back off? Get Hurts out of there. We got this thing locked. You know what I mean?
No. You want to know why? So I witnessed the Ravens give a 21-point lead.
Good point.
In like 2.5 minutes. That's why.
Who do you and I know it sets up because the Giants is a sixth seed. It's almost like you'd have to look ahead. Like, who would you rather place? Who would you rather face? The Eagles or the Cowboys?
The way that the Eagles beat the brakes off me, I think I let me get these Cowboys. Because you know what? They only got one good receiver.
Yeah.
If I go on the other side, I got to deal with a great running game, a quarterback that runs more than Dak, a better offensive line,
yep,
and two better receivers and a better tight end. You know what? Yeah, I'll take the other guy.
Yeah, especially if you know Dak will turn it over and all that stuff.
I'll take CeeDee Lamb instead of getting mushed in the face by like somebody who looks like he's going to play in Spawn 3. When you think about A.J. Brown and how he looks with his shirt off.
A.J. Brown going for the franchise record, right? I think this if he has a big game
over
here.
Over T.O.? Well,
he's going to get it. He's only 9 yards shy of the single season record.
But does that really count?
Mike Quick. Because Quick in 1983. It wasn't T.O.
Oh, this is an extra year, though. That's what I want to say. It got to be catches because T.O. yards.
That's
I think,
fair.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole extra game, though, too. So you talk about.
I didn't know Mike Quick played. I thought Mike Quick was like, yeah, you know, have you ever heard of Mike Quick? You know who Mike Quick is, right?
No, not at all.
You never heard of Mike Quick?
Never heard of him.
Sorry. So MSG Varsity, it was called. And he's like the high school sports guru in the tri-state area.
Oh.
Mike Quick. Great guy. I mean, he's got a story about everything. Like, he's a great guy. He actually does stuff for us. Then he does some stuff for us, right? Saturday mornings and stuff.
Sound like yeah, he does. Sound like Mike Lowry.
So, Mike Lowry?
Yeah, like he had like a bad boy or something like that. That don't even sound like a real name. Is that his real name? This is government.
Mike Quick, actually, it's Chris Sims who does it with him.
Okay. Oh, I might have worked with him then.
Hey, Bart, I know it's not football related. It's a big football Friday. We got a couple other things to talk about. One of them is KD did a Q&A with Nick Friedell, friend of our show. Huh. And he very revealing stuff, especially about his trade demand and everything like that. Mm. And Andy Martino has a source saying the Mets are very frustrated with Carlos Correa.
I see that. He's negotiating with other people, maybe?
Now considering walking away. That's a shame. You concerned?
You just wanted to say that. Did y'all hire somebody else in the
what do you mean?
Management for the Yankees?
Yeah, Omar Minaya.
Because
right. Omar's now part of the deal.
See what I'm saying?
So I hope Willie Randolph comes back into the fold, too. Why not?
Yo, y'all got no salary cap. Y'all spend all the money
bring
you need
the best in.
On
why not?
People. How about spend that money on players?
Bring them all in.
Oh, they don't come with luxury tax.
Why can't you bring them all in? Taxes, right? Why not? Bring them all in.
You just
load
want to
up.
Ruin my day.
There
you
is no salary cap. There you is just, no luxury tax threshold when it comes to infrastructure.
You just want to ruin
You're the
day.
New York Yankees. You should have the best of everything. The best. Who has the best scout? Who does? The Texas Rangers? How much do they pay him? Double it. Bring him in. That's what it should be.
But you ain't
it
got the most money.
It should always be like that.
But you ain't got the most money. Like, listen, Cohen lives on a hill at the top.
I understand. He does, but is he hiring these guys or not?
He got the Vista view.
They ain't no Vista. This sure ain't no view.
He didn't.
But no, seriously.
I hear the wind can blow your ball 2 inches to the right.
Wait, excuse me? I missed that.
But listen, Omar Minaya was with the Mets.
Yes, he was.
Y'all taking our sloppy seconds.
Oh, I don't know if it's sloppy, and I don't think they're seconds. I just think he was available, and you could get him.
He's available because we made him available.
Stop it. I like it because you bring smarter people in the room.
That's true.
And you listen to them, and maybe
like
you get
oversight.
A new perspective. Look,
a lot of oversight.
I'm happy with the idea of a new perspective, a fresher perspective from a guy who's been there for 20 years. Maybe he kind of needs to hear more of other people's opinions.
That's true. Omar
so there's nothing wrong with it.
Omar Minaya might call Cespedes up and tell him to cut it off his board. He might sign him for you. Good job.
Can he play left field? That's all I care about. Need somebody to play left field.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart, have you followed the Michigan story?
Oh, Jimmy Harbaugh maybe going back to the pros. See, I think if you'd have won.
That's not the only story.
It's another one?
Yeah. See, you're a proud Michigan man. Well, you're not a Michigan man.
Well, I grew
you didn't
up a
go
Michigan
there.
Fan. Well, you know.
You were more a state guy.
Well, they offered me, but I decided not to go because Larry Foote is my arch rival, and there's no way in the world I can be a teammate of his.
Wow.
Because I would probably punch him in the face while we were playing.
You chose to go to Southern Illinois.
No. I chose
instead
to go to Michigan, State.
Well, that's true.
I chose
true.
To go to Michigan State
yes.
to go against
right.
Larry Foote.
And then they caught them giving you a bag of money, and then you had to go to –
No, that's a Willie Colon story. That's why Hoster doesn't. That's why Hoster.
Hoster doesn't have a football program anymore.
Don't have a football team no more.
They're
that's
still
why.
Paying off Willie Colon.
Actually, Larry Foote and I were high school rivals, and
yep.
we ended up becoming professional rivals as well because he was a Pittsburgh Steeler and yep. I was a Baltimore Raven.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided not to go there because I didn't want to be his teammate. It was always compared who was better, me or him.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Antonio Gates, who nobody knows, went to Michigan State because he graduated from Kent State, actually were supposed to be roommates at Michigan State. It's a long story why I didn't go there, and it's a long story why he didn't remain there. But long story short, 11 people from 1998 made it to the pros that I graduated high school with, that we all played Little League football together.
Well, Michigan, the program, the football program, apparently is in trouble. Now we understand why Harbaugh has gone from, Viking, no, I'm never going to leave Michigan, to all of a sudden flirting with the Carolina Panthers. So Adam Rittenberg, ESPN reporter, has a story. The NCAA is investigating potential recruiting violations during the COVID dead period as well.
Oh, come on, we're going back to COVID.
Hang on. Sources have described the situation as serious. Possible penalties include multi-game suspension. And they've prepared a draft of notice of allegations for Michigan. It includes level one violations against Jim Harbaugh.
How many levels we got?
For not complying, investigators. And four level two violations. So, some stuff going on in Michigan that... it's going to cost them some games as far as suspensions, but it doesn't sound like they're, bringing the program down.
Yeah, that's a nothing burger, right?
What is he doing then? Why is he flirting with the NFL then? Why is he flirting with the NFL?
Because that's where his heart is. It's nothing like being able to coach grown men.
What do you mean? I thought his heart was in Ann Arbor, where he's got this amazing house and his whole family's there.
They've always been there. They've lived there.
I know. And when he was going to go to Minnesota, which everybody thought that was going to happen, he wasn't going to move his family. The whole story was they love it there. They don't ever want to leave there ever.
Yes, Ann Arbor is an amazing place.
Right.
I think they got a camp house in Canton.
Yeah, but Minnesota is one thing to be in Minneapolis compared to that. It's another thing to go all the way down to, Charlotte.
Nah, man. It's
North Carolina.
It's still an hour and a half, 2 hour flight minimum. Maximum. That's not a hard thing to do, especially when you live in the world of private jets.
Mm.
Here's the thing, though, man. Like, no matter what he says, his heart is there. He is a Michigan man, and he loves that program, and he loves everything that it stands for. But it's nothing like being able to coach guys at the highest level. He wants, I believe, to win a national championship, and then he has unfinished business. He lost to his damn brother in the Super Bowl.
I understand.
And listen, this is why he believes he's a better player than his brother was, of course, right? His brother didn't play professionally.
Yeah, he was a good
quarterback. And now his brother is a coach, and they're in the same world. So he lost to your brother. You know how hard is to digest?
And by the way, speaking of his brother, he just announced that Lamar Jackson not playing.
Yeah, of course. Like, why would you play now? Why would you play?
Well, coin flip's going to decide it, right? So who cares?
Yeah, like exactly. Who cares now?
That's a fair point. Yeah, no,
why risk Calais Campbell? Why risk Marcus Peters? None of those guys are going to play. The game is a nothing burger now.
Yeah, the Jets don't want to see Lamar Jackson hurt. We're going to need him next year. Let's go to Dave in Union. What's up, Dave? Dave.
Yeah, how's it going, gentlemen?
What's happening, Dave? How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Wonderful talk to you guys.
Likewise.
Best brokers in the business, and I definitely will want to sign up for the Barton Hahn family. You guys are great.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. Are you going to subscribe to our other station?
Right. If we do an hour show, The Gout, where we just do hip-hop and talk some sports while we play music.
People that's a gout age.
Yeah.
The gout? Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's because we old men. We're old men. So, now old school is, 90s and above.
Right.
When I was growing up, it used to be 80s and 70s. But now we old as hell. You know what my daughter told me the other day? My daughter told me, "Ew, daddy, you were born in the 1900s. I almost put her on lifetime punishment."
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like actually a good line.
That was a great line by her, by the way. She got you.
Words hurt, man. She's the only one that can do that to me.
Hey, listen. Listen, you guys are wonderful. When you were national, I would listen to you. Great. But, I know you guys hate to come local, but I love you guys local. I don't really care too much about, what goes on with the Texans or the Dodgers or whoever else. So you guys coming back is like, that's you know, it kind of, it made my new year when, you know, when I, but I'm, again, I
we're
know
we're from the people for the people.
Yeah, Dave.
This is home for us.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate what you're saying. We love hearing that. That's what we, like I said on Twitter when we started this week, is I said, this is what you wanted. You guys all talk this mess about, you know, well, you don't talk enough New York, so I'm not listening. All right. Well, we're that's what we're doing now. All focused, only New York. That's where we're at. So now that we gave you what you want,
you got to come back, baby.
Right, loyalty's a two-way street.
That we did the right thing.
That's right.
I am here 100%.
Love it.
I mean, once you guys came back to me, it's like, listen, I'm signed on. Like,
perfect.
You know, I'm here. You know, my station don't turn away from you guys. Best bocas in the business, and bocas that's mouth in Spanish, but best bocas in the business.
Appreciate it.
but listen, the Giants starters. There's no way in the world that I would play the Giants starters and risk a chance of them getting hurt because we're playing for something in the playoffs. We're playing to get as far as we can in the playoffs. So why risk Jonesy? Why risk Dexter Lawrence or anyone else on that defensive front that, you know, can help us push forward? So there's no way I would do that. Now, that being said, two things on the Jets. Mike White. Everybody in the world should have seen that he was injured. He was hurting last week. He could not. I'm not even sure why they even allowed him to play after, like, you know, 35 doctors that, you know, you're not ready to play.
Well, he only had five. He only had five broken ribs. You know, like six probably. It's time to sit him.
Yeah,
They forgot about the old one. They thought the old one had
four.
So
they're like,
four.
Oh, wait, he's got five. All right, now it's time to sit him.
Yeah, I'm not sure why in the world would they allow him to go out there. Flacco, I don't agree with him.
Have you seen the alternatives? What you mean? Have you seen alternatives? Like, exhibit A and B.
Bella, get your suit on. Hey, Namath, can you throw?
Why don't they just put Robert Saleh out there to throw the ball? I mean, like.
Just
but listen, and Saleh, Han, listen, I love you guys. You guys are great. Han, I got to disagree with you on Saleh.
You done with him?
No. You're saying that, you know, should we, I'm a Giants fan, but I do support all New York sports. But you're saying where you were saying Saleh should, you know, I guess coaching options should be on the table or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jets are a spit away. Probably there's a chance that they still can make the playoffs. Why in the world, after 2 years, why in the world would the Jets want to get rid of Saleh? You make mistakes, only human, learning growing pains or whatever.
I hear you, so, Dave. I'll say this, Dave. And we love you. Thanks so much for the call and the accolades. Yep. We appreciate you, man. I'll say this because we got to run. Is all I was doing was asking a question that a lot of Jets fans that I've seen, social media and other and fans I've talked to, that they all kind of have that feeling of, I don't know if he's the guy. I don't know if he's the guy.
And so
I'm asking, all I did was I wanted to hear from fans.
You was asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend. That's basically doing.
Because I thought you guys made up.
No, I'm not doing the receipts thing. I'm trying to get back in the family.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.